the Patriot Media Group an attack dog from Vladimir Putin?
From Pakistan.
How does the government of Prime Minister Imran Khan control television and the media in Pakistan?
From China.
Is TikTok a threat to your privacy because it's owned by ByteDance, the Chinese media company?
From China.
The Joker is a global box office blockbuster, but not in China. Why not?
From Bolivia.
Why is Bolivia's new president, Jeanine Añez, cracking down on the media after the ouster of former president Evo Morales?
From Canada.
How are Canadian college students using social media to fight tuition rates?
From South Korea.
Are K-pop and Korean movies taking over the world?
All this and more coming up on OWWR and Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
Olivia Ferrara is on Russian Media Beat for Global Media News. This week, she is here to tell us about the Patriot Media Group, which is owned by a Russian oligarch with ties to Vladimir Putin. How does the Kremlin family Patriot Media Group help shape Russian pro-opinion in favor of the Putin government? Olivia, give us an introduction to the Patriot Media and its chairman, Yevgeny Prigozhin. What is the Patriot Media Group?
The Patriot Media Group helps shape Russian public opinion in favor of the Putin government by maximum dissemination of information about events in Russia to create a favorable information space, according to the News Federal Agency. So what exactly does that mean? The events that happen in Russia are controlled by the Patriot Media Group from a pro-Putin group. Furthermore, the two people who own part of the Patriot Media Group who were involved in a case which I later soon talk about is Nikolai Stavyarchuk and the head of Justice is Yevgeny Prigozhin. There are also many newsworthy organizations that are associated with the Patriot Media Group. A few of the news organizations that are stated on the Patriot Media Group website are Economics Today, Politics Today, Federal News Agencies, and Nation News. Now, back to the case that I would like to talk about. According to Boris Vishnevsky, who is a St. Petersburg counselor and political science teacher at Russian State Pedagogical University, Stavyarchuk and Prigozhin are making false sexual harassment claims against him. The Patriot Media Group claims that Vishnevsky sexually harassed a girl, allegedly named Christina, and a few other first-year students. The school received an email from Christina, who states that the sexual harassment was made to her and a few other first-year students. I believe the story to be not completely true due to the school's response. According to Dasha Blum, a state-owned public broadcasting company, the school states, in 2014, there was not a single Christina among the freshmen, that Vishnevsky had never taught freshmen, and that he never received any allegations of sexual harassment.
Were there any follow-up statements from the Patriot Media Group? If so, what did he or she have to say?
Yes, there was a follow-up statement. On the Patriot Media Group website, Stavyarchuk released a statement in regards to the incident. Stavyarchuk stated, in the place of Boris Vishnevsky, I would be ashamed and more concerned with working with law enforcement agencies and the university leadership to provide evidence refuting allegations of harassment. A person who cannot refute such accusations should quit the university and surrender his deputies. But Vishnevsky does not care about this fact.
What is your response to the statement and or to the situation?
In my opinion, these accusations should not have been made. To make an accusation like this can really impact one's job and reputation. For Global Media News, I'm Olivia Ferrara. Back to you, John.
Thanks, Olivia. The Islamic Republic of Pakistan has a population of more than 200 million people. Less than 1 in 4 of those 200 million are online. Internet penetration is only about 22% in 2018. The per capita GDP is only about $1,500, according to the International Monetary Fund. The most important media in Pakistan are television and newspapers. The government of Prime Minister Imran Khan, PTI party, keeps a close eye on the media. Dejani Mikhala is here to report on media freedom and censorship in Pakistan today. Dejana, how has Pakistan's government exerted its control on the media, specifically on television in recent months?
Since government has recent times, the approach to the media, the government has for restricting the sale of tobacco to the public. Recently, on October 27th, the public has been They did this to prevent their personal feelings when expressing their discrimination, and this was put in place to prevent their future risk and opportunity. The role of the brief was to moderate programs to promote judgment and bias in the future. This was a direct attack on Pakistan's media freedom and was a force of the continent's freedom of the world. If those in the media are blind,
what are the critics saying?
A panel in London generally censorship of Pakistan management had all journalists, professors, and students heard. And so it is a recipe to discuss censorship in a neutral country and how it's been publicized. And here, in the but discussion was a 2 hour interview with the recent being used to make the diagnosis of these journalists. And this panel is much discussed with the
thanks to China. Let's leave Pakistan and turn to some media news about China. Does it matter that one of the most popular apps in the United States is owned by a Chinese company? What do we know about ByteDance? What can happen with TikTok user data?
My co-host John Greenberg is covering media in China this week. Is TikTok a privacy threat because it is owned by a major Chinese media company? ByteDance is a major Chinese new media company. It is approaching 1 million users across all of its apps. Should we be concerned that one of the most popular apps is owned by a Chinese corporation that could be controlled by the Chinese government? Is there a security threat posed by Chinese tech? Why does that matter? John, most of us are very familiar with TikTok, but what is ByteDance?
TikTok currently has 1 billion users worldwide and is owned by a Chinese media company, ByteDance. Much of the concern relating to TikTok comes from the location of its app owner in mainland China. One of the ongoing investigations taking place in Congress revolves around the acquisition of lip-syncing app Musical.ly by the company, which is announced by its senator Marco Rubio via tweet. Also, concern exists that ByteDance would have to hand over the information of the billion users if the Chinese government requested it. Or if the app is censoring content sensitive to Chinese officials as well.
Who is the leader of TikTok and how are they responding to negativity towards them?
The leader of TikTok is Alex Zhu. He recently did an interview with the New York Times and seemed pretty dismissive of the concerns of this app. He was reassured that information from all TikTok users is not stored in China, but in servers located in the United States itself, with information only going to China as backup. When asked about how he would react if Xi Jinping, the president of China, asked for information of TikTok's users or requested content be taken down, he responded, "I would turn them down." Towards the end, he even talks about the attention to detail he put into the design of the app itself. He denied any concern of the company removing content at the request of the Chinese government or giving information to the Chinese government at their request. He didn't seem worried at all.
Is the United States the only country concerned with TikTok?
TikTok is much more of a world phenomenon rather than focused just in America. Keep in mind that only 4% of all of TikTok's users actually come from the United States, the Wall Street Journal reports. The app has been pulled in the past from app stores around the world. The South China Morning Post reports that both Indonesia and China have temporarily blocked TikTok from new downloads over the different concerns over the app. The same concerns the United States has are present outside of the country. Though concerns that the children that are the target audience of the app are being exposed to inappropriate content as well. Plenty can go wrong.
How for TikTok to separate itself from China.
It would be very difficult if TikTok pursued leaving mainland China. Again, such a small population of TikTok's users is from the United States. It's not its main target. ByteDance owns a large portion of their profit in China as well. If not selling information of their users or being paid off by the Chinese government, they get the revenue from selling advertising or monetized content. Abacus, a privately owned Hong Kong-based tech news source, gives a figure of 50 billion yuan, which is a little more than $7 billion for all advertising revenue spent in China throughout the first half of 2019. It even beat out the China equivalent of Google and Tencent, being one of its fiercest competitors. It would be an incredible amount of profit to give up, which could be taken away in a minute by the Chinese government if they were to be upset with the company. For Global Media News, I'm John Greenberg. Back to you, Monica.
Thanks, John. We have more media news from China. The Joker movie sold a lot of tickets this year. Mohammed Fregali is reporting on the importance of the Chinese market for the global film industry. China has strict rules about which films can be shown in China. Recently, the movie Joker was prevented from being shown in China. Mohammed, can you first tell us when the Joker first premiered and what has happened since then?
The Joker first was still in the movie, but Friday, which was taken in March, and I just didn't see it in the street. The movie tries to write top players to the person who was taken to the movie.
Is it that the Joker was not allowed to be premiered in China?
Showcases lots of themes and ideas similar to Hong Kong protesters, including how it tells the story of the fair extent of community, tends to know and impact in the city, as it teaches you how the Chinese become a center for the city. There are many comparisons between the special city of modern day Hong Kong, and the country center and groups, and the greatest can be picked up. The Chinese government stands on the window of the city 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 of the You can now see the way that these people are able to get the mass audience in the States. Whatever the case is, it will be better to get your freedom and the Chinese to see the way that lots of us are using the photo just from the family to tell them it's a good idea. The only thing is, I'm going to go back to the market.
Thanks, John.
go to South America for a report about the current political turmoil in Bolivia. Protests have led to a political upheaval. There is a new president. Will this new president be a champion of freedom of expression, or will she crack down on journalists and the press?
Protests recently leading to the forced resignation of President Evo Morales after elections in October. The Organization of American States charged that the presidential election was a fraud. The military forced Evo Morales to resign after accusations that he was violating the Constitution by seeking an independent constitutional fourth term. Morales has been replaced by Bolivian Senator Jeanine Arias, the new interim president of Bolivia. Has she been able to tame the Bolivian news media? How is her more religious and conservative government different from the government of President Evo Morales? Evo was the first indigenous president of Bolivia. More than 40% of Bolivians are indigenous citizens from one of the 36 indigenous peoples in Bolivia. Interim President Jeanine Arias is not an indigenous Bolivian. She did not appoint any indigenous leaders to her new government when she took power. How will the relationship between her new government and the press change? Will she put up with the opposition press? Oscar Martinez is here to report on the state of press freedom under Jeanine Arias. Oscar, can you tell us about something about the new president and how she differs from Evo Morales? Was there a free press under Morales?
Morales, Evo Morales is from the left, and Jeanine Arias is from the right. During Morales' presidency, he brought prosperity to the nation. He was able to close the gap between the rich and the poor. He was also able to reduce poverty overall. He was also able to massively improve the infrastructure of the country. He constantly improved the economy by 1.9% in his entire 2 terms of government. So far, under Arias, nothing but chaos has happened. Even though protesting began well before Morales resigned, she took power. She claimed when she replaced Morales that she would restore order, which of course she did.
How did the protesting begin?
The protesting began again as a result of accusations against Morales that he committed voter fraud. During counting votes, the voting stopped for 24 hours. And when it resumed, Morales went from having small victories. This caused opposition leaders in the country to call for Gil and Morales to be removed from the presidency. Yes, the protests are for a different reason. She took office, she proclaimed that the Bible has returned to the presidency and that she would restore order. And because Morales is part of the indigenous population, and you too, Arias, anti-indigenous stance. Most of the indigenous population has gone in support of Morales, and so the indigenous people have rallied against Arias and called the government as illegitimate. In response, Arias has allowed the military to use whatever means necessary to suppress the protest. At the same time, she began diamond for the media.
In what ways has she begun to control the media?
She has stated that she intends to stay in power no matter what. And one of the big reasons she could use power is, of course, the media, so she has to make sure that the media is behind her. In Bolivia, there's a great history of journalists being pressured by officials to become too critical of the officials. So that isn't going to change. In one of her first interviews, she waved around the list of top members of the media, and that she was going to make sure that they would become a problem. So she also appointed Roxanne Lizarraga as a communication minister, who also shares similar views. She called herself a warrior of democracy and freedom of expression, despite the fact she had a history of being against the Morales government. And during televised speeches of Arias, all the stations broadcast the speech, and those who refused to broadcast the speech were taken off air. I'm Oscar Martinez from Global Media News. Back to you, Joe.
Thanks, Oscar. Let's go north of the border with Amani Innes. Amani Connie is here to talk about social media in Canada. The government is raising college tuition and that has led to student protests against the tuition hikes. How are the protesters using social media to organize? Amani, have students using social media played a major role in these protests?
In the summer, students at Ottawa and the UNW implemented free education for college students in their own country. So that gave everyone the opportunity to attend college and gain a higher education in the different countries. However, recently, the Ontario's PC or Progressive Conservative Government has put actions to free, but actions put free education to the people. And by only cutting down tuition to 5 to 8 cents. So even though they offered to decrease the tuition, it still caused a war towards private college students who are granted private free education. Students and parents who want to social media, such as Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, to further explain how they can affect tuition.
How does social media play a big role in college protests in Canada?
Well, it's no secret that social media is important to the community. According to the Community Network of Social Media Awards, CIO, nearly 90% of Canada's population has access to the community. And out of that 90%, nearly all of them use social media. 61% reenacted on social media. The most popular social media networks in Canada include what is now YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Social media is one huge source that college students and parents use to not only talk about their experience with Ontario's Student Assistance Plan or OSAP, friendly mirror tuition. But they also use social media to communicate for multiple protests against tuition reform. Eventually, this topic became so popular on social media platforms in Canada, high schools began to share different posts about this topic, and it led to them protesting in different high schools.
Why should this topic be important to us?
I think this topic comes from, it's more of like a standpoint. I can only imagine how it would affect me or any other college student who was promised free tuition and was granted the promise for 2 years, was then taken away, and now you're left with the responsibility of how you're supposed to, how you want to pay your college tuition for the upcoming semester. I think about this topic as, like, as a college student, if you were put in this situation with me, it's validated how important education is that both the college and high school students are processing to prepare for education. So that's just something to do. But what will we get is how much we can spend to each other.
Thanks, Imani. My co-host Monica Crespo will be reporting about South Korean media this week. There is a new Korean movie that is attracting a lot of buzz and selling many tickets in the U.S. called Parasite. Monica, just how popular is Korean media outside of Korea? What kinds of media content are we discussing today? Are you a fan of any media made in South Korea? Do you listen to K-pop and watch Korean soap operas?
To answer your first question, Korean media is actually really popular outside of that country. Also, some of the media that I will be discussing today would be K-pop, which is their music and their movies or films. And the third question, yes, I am interested in media from South Korea. Really popular in the entire world. Korean music and movies are impacting the world with their content. People are now more interested in South Korea and their culture than ever. This is because of the big impact they've had in so many countries. Korea's famously known K-pop and their films such as movies like Parasite has shown the world that although they are geographically a relatively small country, which struggled with poor conditions in a civil war less than 70 years ago, they have upgraded themselves, and their media is at the top of the game. Korea's most known music, K-pop, has impacted teens and young adults in many countries such as the United States and even Spanish countries like Mexico and Colombia. With K-pop's distinctive blend of addictive melodies, slick choreography, production values is what has made this type of music a global phenomenon.
What are some of K-pop's achievements?
Through K-pop, Koreans have been able to put their country at the top of important charts such as Billboard's Hot 100 chart. BTS, which is currently the most popular K-pop boy band, recently had a world tour, and one of their concerts was in the MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, USA. This is a great achievement that even many known American artists haven't been able to accomplish. Another Korean media that has become popular is their movies. This year, Korea has what it is known as the most talked about foreign language film of 2019. This is Bong Joon-ho's most Parasite, the movie that has reached unbelievable sell numbers and records. For example, according to Deadline, an online news site, worldwide Parasite has amazed $106.7 million, 67 of that gross coming from South Korea, easily making the pick the Helmer's highest grossing title of all time. Is it really that easy?
How do you personally feel about Korean films?
Like I mentioned before, I'm a fan, so my favorite movie from South Korea is Among the Gods. It's a great movie, it's about the content. So actually, people from other countries, like Anna Faber, at that time, of the tech talk, was a master's student at the University of Auckland, talked more about it. Since she was 13 years old, she became really interested in Korean media and how they are becoming so successful. So Faber, who did a psychoanalytics research of South Korean media, said the following.
South Korea, one of the
South Korea is a country with a lot of discipline, determination, and progress in big characteristics that are now seen everywhere. For Global Media News, I am Monica Crespo. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you, Monica. That's all for this week. Thanks to our favorite producer and engineer, Kyle Brodsky. And many thanks to Monica Crespo from hosting with us.
Today, we hear reports from Monica Crespo, John Greenberg, Mohamed Fergali, Olivia Ferraro, Amani Ince, Oscar Martinez, and Dijana Mikal.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.
Stay tuned for more great programming coming up on the next.